Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Curator Read Room. You have your Omi, the advisor you want, and the advocate you need. I am your Emperor, here to serve you. I'd like to welcome each of you to our program this evening. We are featuring the Curator Read Room under our topic, under Blog Talk. I'd like to thank Blog Talk for their gracious service here in this room and our ability to be on the airwaves. Thanks once again, Blog Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also say I am featuring Nolan's books. That's right. Omi is out marketing somebody again. That's my job. I'm on my job. What about you? I'd like to say Nolan Books Publishing Company has been around for a long, long time, ladies and gentlemen. I've used their materials. They used to have a newsletter that was fantastic, and it was free. Now, today, they are publishing a list of books that are online that are free. And if you go to my website, you can see all those books that are featured there. Today, we'd like to highlight one in particular, and that is the book that you are all going to need eventually. It's a quick in-wheel master maker. Plus, I might add, it helps you to create your wheel in advance so that you could store it away somewhere in your safe deposit box for your children to apprehend when you make your transition. Now, I'm going to be speaking on making the transition and how important it is to address wheel making. It's not too early to do it while you're still have life in you, if you get what I'm saying, if you get my drift. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be talking to all those people that have life in them. Come on into the Curator Read Room and make up your will today and talk about how you can outline your own will. And if you don't know how to follow paint by numbers or fill in the blank, then you can consult an attorney to help you lay out your will maker. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. I'm going to go take this train real quick as I go down the road here. Come on, follow me. Down the road we go. We're back again, and thank you for joining me this evening in the Curator Read Room. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, as is and as always, we do pay homage to our higher self and to God Almighty and to our ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already done so, you need to be thinking about setting up an altar, dedicating it to your loved ones. And if you have deceased mothers or fathers or spouses, you definitely want to set up your altar to acknowledge them, to bring them back into the family, to reconnect them to yourself. You need their energies, don't you? Go ahead on and set up your altars, because their melanin can never die. It will always be connected to the family to give you the strength you need. Pardon me while I go over to my corner and acknowledge my loved ones who have transitioned and my ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, as is and as always, we light a candle for our mother's spirit. I like to light that candle for my mother's spirit. I like to light that candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I'm going to wash my hands and face before I proceed on. I do not want to greet my ancestors with a stale face. So bear with me as I get cleaned up. I wash my hands and my face. As I clean my hands and face and get prepared, I say, Ashe. And the water that goes to the ground is to allow the ground to be fertile where the word will fall so that it will take root and spring up. I like to set a glass of water off for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe, Ashe. I like to pour a glass of water for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I don't know if I said I shave for pouring a glass of water for my father's spirit. If I didn't, I'd like to say so now. I pour a glass of water for my father, I shave. Ladies and gentlemen, you do this in the numbers of your ancestors, and those ancestors are to the east or to the west or to the north or south, or who are still in the lagoon trying to make their transition back to you. We call those ancestors into being because it is their shoulders who we stand on. Our ancestors are our foundation, ladies and gentlemen. It is important to acknowledge them. I am from the Yoruba faith. I do this in remembrance of my ancestors. I also call on Odulon Moray, who is described as the African god of the African race. Then there's Olorun. Olorun is depicted as Jesus in the Christian faith, and he was at the right-hand side of God when the inception of man was created. He molded man into being while God breathed breath of life into human beings. Now, you also have Ori, the little G god with the big head full of wisdom that stays on your head, that never leaves you, no matter how far you travel. He will go or she will go because the Africans believe that there is no gender, so we say he or she will go with you all the way and will not turn back. As you honor your Ori, if you are to have good success, pay homage to your Ori. If you are to get over the greenhouse, pay homage to Ori. If you are to have favor by God, pay homage to the Ori. Now, I once told you that there's a three manifestations. Remember, that has not changed. There is Oludulamore, who is the author of the earth, who created the earth. He brings about the three manifestations to express himself. Ilede and Olorun, they express him, and Ori. Ilede being pure energy, ratify energy, is very, very difficult to touch Ilede. And Olorun is not interacting with human either. He is pure radiant energy as well. But Ori has been created for you to interact with. And Oludulamore, they have interactions with human beings because they are not pure ratified. They are able to interact with you. But know that God is so vast that he has to create a hierarchy, a division of men to express his manifestation. Not that you're worshiping many gods. This is not a polytheistic. This is a monotheistic one God. Oludulamore. Say it with me. Oludulamore. We ought to know who our African names are. If you look at history, you will find that someone has stolen from us African. They've changed the names. Yes, Jesus' name was changed to Jesus and Horus, when in fact it was the African name Oladulmare. Many names like Isis has been changed. Many names were changed to stifle us and to redirect our path so that we didn't know where our history came from. You ought to know your Nia, your purpose, and your history. And you need to take some time to research it. That's what we're going to be talking about in this classroom, researching, taking the authority to become your own pro se writer, because you're going to have to write and research. We're going to go right into our program, but we want to say a prayer for the family, because there's a lot of us Black African Americans locked away, and it hurts each and every one of us to think about those family members that have been separated from their loved ones. We're going to say a prayer because we're praying that the ancestor would move in the direction of giving our poor brothers and sisters a chance to empower themselves with knowledge, because we know knowledge is power. We're going to say a prayer that will penetrate all walls and travel across all airways and into jail cells and penitentiaries and incarcerations. I'd like to say, Father God, we know that all inspiration and all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for reproof and instruction and correction. As these men and women are in these correction centers, Father, it is our prayer that if there's any correction that needs to be done, that the correction is being done there, and that they have a true rehabilitation program that is going to pardon them and rehabilitate them and making them fit for society. But for those innocent men and women who have been placed there out of distress, we ask you to pardon them and to quickly and purposely give them a way of escape so that they can escape the prison walls and these executions. Those men and women who have not been found guilty, but who are sitting there waiting for their court dates. Father, I ask you to expediently move those dates forward. I ask that you will send your hand and the way of another brother or sister to protect those young men and women who are there, to protect them from all harm and hurt and sexual predators that may come against them. I ask you this day, Lord, to go into the walls of the penitentiary and to minister to those men and women and employ them to seek out solutions for their own help in the area of law. Make them the institutions, Father. Show them the way to research and find solutions to their problem this day, Father. And, Father God, in those courtrooms, we ask that you go in there and sanction those courtrooms, because what they were intended to be were to free people, not incarcerate people. Father God, stop it. Don't let another jury, don't let another judge become crooked and undermining to do undermining things that cause innocent people to be placed in penitentiaries. Father God, we begin to call forth the forces to be, that the angels will have capped around those institutions, and that all mothers who have cried their last tear be able to go in to help vindicate their children. Father, young people are being put in prison now, and they are being incarcerated and tried as adults. Father, we say put a stop to it. Let the families and the mothers who are responsible for these children stand up and be an advocate for their children. Father, there's so many children that are getting into penal institutions by way of special ed. We ask that you deter that process and what plan they've had for these children to go into penal institutions. I decree that it would be broken this day. Every child that is on his way to the penal institution that has been mapped out and tried and directed for the penal institution out of high school and middle school, I ask you to deter those plans this instant. Because we can't have our children going off to prison. We cannot have innocent people placed there who cannot fight and vindicate themselves. We're asking you, Father, to impart knowledge all over this universe for African American and those other deprived people who don't have law access. We ask that you would give them access all over the world. And these institutions that are posing as being legal aid systems who are not assisting these people, we ask that you shut them down, close them down, and bring forth those institutions that will direct and guide them. Father, it is in your hands now. All power is in your hand, and we're asking you to lend us your tools and your ashay so that we might be able to vindicate ourselves against the wrongdoers in the power of justice. And we say ashay, ashay. We say amen, amen, and we thank you. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for going with me on the Care to Read journey as we get into the Care to, the talking cure is what we call it. But I want to thank you because it's so important that we pray over situations and things that need to be changed. Now, let me go into my topic. As I indicated, we're talking about In Real Makers Plus, and that is for the year 2011 that this book has been made. Nolan wrote this book specifically for people who wanted to put a will together. And you probably might be asking yourself, Omi, why would I need a will? I am so young and vibrant and looking good and ain't planning on going nowhere no time soon. Things could change overnight. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about death. And I want to talk about death from the perspective of the Yoruba teaching. This is not from Christianity. It is a little bit different from what you know death to be. African Americans in the Yoruba faith believe that you have something called eldership, and then ancestorship. There is a transitioning, and it's very important that we prepare in the Yoruba faith to transition. And one of the things that Yoruba people know so well is the experience of eldership as well as death. Now, if you're able to transition into eldership and you want the homage paid to you, then you should also be able to transition into getting ready for transitioning into another life, the underworld, or if you're going through a whole channel, the ancestorship. Now, as you prepare to get ready to talk to your family about a will, you must understand that you don't have to have large amounts of money, diamonds and jewels just to have a will. You wouldn't believe all the very important things that you have in your reach or within your company that people will fight over. It's very important to give clear direction as to what you want done after you transition. I have seen far too many family members become rash and angry and become enemies after loved ones die. So what are you saying, Omi? I'm saying you ought to sit down with an attorney and lay out what you want put in the will. Now, if you're not familiar with paperwork and dealing with documents, it's important on this one that you get it right. Because if you appoint someone over your authority of your will, you want them to carry it out as an administrator. You preferably want to contact an attorney. Now, I had a couple of attorneys here that I wanted to recommend to you that were from Illinois, but also practice in Illinois, in Indiana. And I'm going to give you one in particular lawyer that could possibly help you. If not him, he can lead you on. But he has gotten certificated and licensed to practice in the state of Indiana as well as Illinois. His name is David Leibowitz, L-E-I-B-O-W-I-T-Z. And his office is at Luke Law, 53 West Jackson Boulevard in Chicago. You can Google him and see if he's accepting new clients. I am definitely putting a perk out there for him. I think he is an excellent attorney and one that would be very, very professional in handling your case. If you are interested in putting together a whole set of documents to talk about where your filthy Luke is going to go, to also discuss where you want your house to go, possibly your vehicle and your assets that you have. Now, most of all, you want to give instruction as to who you want to bury you and how you want to be buried. It's very, very important because if most people that you give over to your administration don't give a care about how you live your life and they have no respect for you after you're gone, and you might have never wanted to be cremated, and wanted to make sure your body was placed in the ground, you definitely have to express that in writing, because if you don't, somebody won't care. They will save the extra dollars and do just the opposite. So you want to get a good attorney to sit down with you to talk about a living will. How do you function and live with a living will? How do you make changes to a living will? What are some of the things you want your children to know about you? You're going to have to be frank. It's probably important to put together a video so you can speak directly into your administrator's space and tell them point blank, these are the things that I want done after I expire and I'm transitioned. You could go and speak directly to that administrator and explain to them that you have been grown up in the atmosphere believing that you are going to return because you believe in reincarnation. Give them all the tidbits on why you want to be buried a certain way. But most of all, get your business in order. Make sure that they know all your insurance policies, where they're located, and also if the premiums are paid on them. Because usually you pay some insurance policies, if you had them long enough, you've paid enough in them so that you have excess money to pay the premium. Don't let your insurance policies lapse. Try to keep them up as best as you can. Tell your loved ones where they are so that they can continue the premium payment, because there's nothing worse than a family member thinking that their loved one has already created a will and that everything is in the will, and push comes to shove, and all of a sudden, grandma left that policy lapse and nobody else has a policy on her. And guess what? She's in a nursing home now. And the nursing home people got a big bill that's been ran up that you got to come in and take care of. Now, what do you do? Nobody in the family has money. And this body needs to be moved out of the nursing home because they're waiting for that bed, and there's somebody else that is scheduled to go in there the next week. 9 times out of 10, Aunt Bessie may have to be buried by the state. And if she is, what an embarrassing moment. You can change that embarrassing moment by taking care of Aunt Bessie's procedures and business ahead of time by creating a living will or a will maker for her and sitting down with your attorney and asking the attorney, what are the avenues that I need to place in this will? Is it too early if you're 50 and younger? No, it's never too early. Whenever the time will allow itself, when you get that book, I do want you to go out there on the website and read the book. Read the book and read it thoroughly so you will be empowered with knowledge. So when you get ready to have this meeting with your attorney, you already have a foundation for what you're about to do. It's always best to read a book on something, and if you don't know something, get a book and read about it. I'm only trying to make you literate. Now, OMI is trying to make you literate in the area where it comes with your filthy lucre so it is properly passed on and the state don't get your money. Because if you don't, in a probate situation, the state could move in, and if you don't have everything in order, you can lose everything to the state, and all of your property can become the state. You don't want that to happen. It's an embarrassing moment. Keep your filthy lucre and all of your assets in the family and let them properly be administered to the people that your loved ones wanted them to be released to. Now, that's going to take you some time, I know. Start down the list. I've given you one attorney that you can get a hold of. You can look him up at Luke Law at 53 West Jackson Boulevard in Chicago. Look him up and tell him that OMI sent you, Sherelle sent you, and tell him I'm recommending him. If he can't help you, he'll refer you on to someone. Ladies and gentlemen, there is now lawyers all over the place who are specifically trying to get on Nolan's list. I prefer only those lawyers that are on Nolan's list because Nolan has a battery of questions that they ask the attorney. First of all, they ask them, do they have a problem with the client filling out the papers, bringing them to them to ask them for assistance to help. And in some cases, the attorneys say no or they'll say yes. They also ask them a wealth of questions about their background so that they are peeping them out to see just what pro bono background they have. And they even ask them, will they do some cases at a low price? What is pro bono, you ask? Pro bono are those lawyers who know what it is to have been poor and who vowed a vow that they would give so many hours back, sometimes free of charge or at a low cost. If you can run across a lawyer that is a pro bono and is willing to give you some free time, stick with them. Stick with them like glue if you have to, because they're dying art. They don't come that easy nowadays. What I'm saying is that there are a number of good lawyers out there who are humanitarians, who work for the people of the community, and they just give so much of their time and doing things for the community. I haven't seen them here in my community, unfortunately. I used to think the world of legal aid. I used to think if anybody could fix it, it was legal aid. That's when I lived in Wisconsin. I still have not found that to be true here in Indiana. And another thing I want to say, you have to be very, very careful of where you are geographically. Each state operates differently. Here in Indiana, they don't understand what it means to be a volunteer or an advocate. Yeah. They think that somebody's coming around the corner to put one over on them when someone says, I want to volunteer. I mentioned that word to somebody at Legal Aid here in Indiana. You would have thought that I was cursing them out or if it was a dirty word, because they truly did not believe in volunteers, especially not paralegals. I was so profound about what I saw after volunteering my help and sending my portfolio over. I was just put out when I found that these people are more scrutinizing than anything when someone wants to help. They're not used to it. They're not used to someone coming to their aid. You might have to go to another city to volunteer, because I'm telling you, it's very difficult to volunteer for anything here in the state of Indiana, at least in this geographical area of Maryville. And the reason why I say so is because I have been taught that if you want something to change, you've got to make the change yourself, and you have to get in the community and volunteer. I've always volunteered no matter where I've gone, and this has been the most difficult town I have ever lived in to offer my services. And trust me, my services don't come cheap. Anytime a head of legal aid tells me that they rarely ever get any paralegals to come in, they ought to be jumping for joy and trying to serve me the red carpet to get me to come in if they only knew who I were. Sometimes you could be giving favor to somebody who doesn't deserve it, and God will fix it so they can't even hear you. Their ears were plugged up and they couldn't hear me. Maybe it was for the best, I don't know. But nevertheless, I'm going to say this to you paralegals. If you're out there, start volunteering. Start doing pro bono. Start offering your services and start getting involved in those Faraday classes. There are paralegal schools that are out there, like Brown Mackey, who needs all the help in the world they can get from paralegals. Not to say that we are professionals in being lawyers, because we're not a member of the bar, but most of us could run circles around some of the new legal lawyers that are coming out of school because we've been broken in. And it's very important for you to understand that we all must take some time to look at our life and our situation and create a will. We create that will out of respect for our family members so we don't leave them with a burden. And in creating that will, make sure you tell the lawyer what it is you want. He's working or she's working for you. If you want certain things put in your will, I don't care. Make it as elaborate as you want to. Because when Omi gets ready to lay hers out, I'm going to just tell them it's got to be some type of gig going on or parade, something like New Orleans or other, when the music's playing and they're going down the streets like a parade. The city got to shut down. if I am an emperor, that is the way that I want to go. Don't go, I see you laughing at me, but don't make the mistake of laughing at me. Because I'm sure some of you, if you had the opportunity to sit down and write your will out, you probably would take the high road or the low road. But all me, since I'm an emperor, I know which road I want to take. I want to be right down the middle as I come through the town with the parade and dancers. I don't care anything about the casket you put me in, but you better take me down the boulevard somewhere down Broadway so I take my last stroll and walk in the park. Those are some things I want to put in my repertoire or my portfolio when I put my will together. How about you? Have you thought about what you want to put in your will? Have you put some things together? There's will makers out there now. Go right on my website. Look at the books that Omi has posted there. We're featuring the Willmaker Plus 2011. It's available to read online free of charge and complimentary of Nolan books. Nolan, I'm giving you all kind of pluggers today. You are going to start getting sales. Omi is endorsing your books, and what Omi endorses, it will get read. So I'm telling you, Nolan, get on the horn and let them know that you will have more books online for them. Because people, you got to start reading now. Now is the time you can read for free. You don't even have to go purchase a book. I tried to go and let you get the 30% discount of your teacher to get a book. Some of you may didn't even have that money because 30% off of a $12 book could put you in a hole for the next couple of months. I know. But here I'm telling you to read for free. Isn't that grand? You get a chance to read for free. On Nolan, of course, they've made it possible. But because Omi is marketing this, Nolan, I want you to remember me when I get ready to come in to make my purchase. Now, teachers, your Teacher Appreciation Day for the week is gone, but we are still honoring teachers. This is Teacher Month. Now, teachers, I want you to start holding those Saturday classes. Because we're sitting here right now, a number of teachers all across the nation pulling together on the project for the families here, the Black Project family, and putting together an opportunity to create universities, Saturday universities for our African American children. So teachers, I want you to get on it. The teachers being laid off all over the state. I want you to create those Saturday universities where we can continue to use our skills and sharpen our skills. Nobody can put you out of work if you don't want them to. I don't think I will ever stop teaching. Nobody could ever put me out of work or prevent me from coming to somebody's job. I will always find a niche to go to work because I'm a worker bee. How about you? You ought to be a worker bee too, and you ought to learn how to work to the sweat of your brows because it's important that you never retire and die on your feet if you have to. But I first want to put that will together. How many of you are with me on putting the will together? If you're down with putting the will together, put your hands up and say, I'm down with putting the will together. Because once you put that will together, you can sleep easy at night. You know that your family members know exactly what you expect. And don't let them get away with putting you in line to be cremated. Oh, no. Nobody better not. They better not talk about wasting all my money to spend on themselves and cremate me. I want it put in the will. I will not, thou shall not cremate on me. Now, make it up in your mind what you want to do with your life. And even at the end of it, when you transition, you have a right. And you have a right to exercise it. And if you want to go the cheap route, you can't afford an attorney, sit down with that book and find out how you can put together a will on your own under pro se. Now, remember, you have time sensitivity and filing dates and documenting things, so you want to have somebody overseeing you that has legal training and possibly somebody who's a member of a bar. Now, I'm being a little facetious here, but you have to understand, nobody knows what life holds for us under the supernatural world when we transition. But making all jokes aside, I know that the ancient Egyptians believed that they were going to live again, and they took everything with them, even their filthy lucre. and jewelry and diamonds. They believed that they were going to come back. I, too, believe in reincarnation and that we're going to live again. This is not the last journey, ladies and gentlemen. You have to make a transition, and everyone has to be judged, as I know. But make it a good time when you're putting your will together to talk about incidental things you want to happen at your funeral, with your children, who you want in your family to get what. If you want the dog to be at the funeral, if you want him to have some access to some of your funds, I want you to understand that this is your last walk in the sun. And as Doc Ben would say, your last walk in the sun. And this is a transition called the life in the underworld. You know, you make the transition from an infant to a toddler, a transition from a preschooler to a first grade class, and then from middle school to high school, then from youth to elder, I mean from youth to adult, and then adult to elder, then elders to ancestorship. That's right. Ancestorship, say it with me. As you make that transition, after you're gone, it's a little too late to make any decisions about what you want to put in the will. Do it today, family. Don't wait. Do it with intelligence. Start reading everything you can on will making. Start going to my website. Go right on the page. You can go right to that book and read it, download it, find out what the fees are for downloading, and read it. So when you come in here tomorrow, we can talk intelligently about making that transition. Make that change, family. I'm going to make my change. When I make my change, I've already told my family, don't go telling me that you had to cremate me. Omi wants to have all body parts intact with everything buried with me going down that Main Street in a parade. Why don't we get on out of here on the train? We're going to practice going out of here on the train this evening so we can get ready for that transition. Get ready. Here we come. They're calling this train. Come on, get on the train with me. Folks, you've been great. I want to thank you so very much. But I got to get out of here. All jokes aside, family, but we are going to take some time to put together our wills and be more conscientious about the attorney representation that we select. And if we can't afford it, go about it diplomatically. Read the book and instruct yourself and guide yourself and seek out pro bono help for someone to help you with putting together your will. And I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so I'll see you back here, same time, same place. Stay with me, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back here at you in the atmosphere. Have a great evening. Oh, double and baba booey to y'all.